Hello everyone, herb lovers, sustainable health seekers, herbal medicine fans. Welcome back to Herbcast, our podcast from Herbal Reality. In every episode, we explore how traditional wisdom and up-to-date herbal science can meet the needs of the hour and support a sustainable and effective approach to our health. As you know, herbs have nourished human health for thousands of years, and whilst they hold so much potential to meet today's numerous health challenges, there are still so many questions to be answered. And we're delighted to have you with us today as we continue to deepen our understanding together. So get comfy, pour yourself a cup of herbal tea, and let's begin. Today's episode is hosted by Marion McConaughey.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Herbcast. Today I'm going to be talking to Carol Guyett, a herbalist since 1987, and we're going to be talking about herbalism for birth, breastfeeding and beyond. Carol's worked extensively in fertility, pregnancy and birthing, has taught obstetrics and gynaecology to herbal students and practitioners, and wrote The Herbalist's Guide to Pregnancy, Childbirth and Beyond, as well as the book Sacred Plant Initiations. Carol, welcome. Really lovely to talk to you today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
So birth and breastfeeding, they can be a really magical time in a woman's life, but it can also be a really time of nervousness, and women often feel quite overwhelmed and struggle to cope with new and unfamiliar challenges. What drew you to working with women during this stage of their lives?
Well, for me, I'd always had an interest in women's health, and I trained as a herbalist in the 80s, and because of my interest in women's health, I did a lot of training, well, for many reasons, actually. I did a lot of training with Janet Hicks, who was a practitioner at the time in Winchester, who really had trained herself with a herbalist who was a gynaecologist. And so basically I learned a lot about obstetrics and gynaecology just because I was very interested, and Janet was a great practitioner as well anyway. So, and then in my first year of practice, I had my first child. So I was immersed in pregnant women and babies and that whole area. And that meant that a lot of pregnant women started coming to my practice. I was just sort of in that world. Yeah, and it's something I love. And as you said at the beginning, it's such a magical time. So, and then women started asking me to be their birth assistant. So I started attending births for some of my patients. And it's just been something that I've continued in because I love it.
Yeah. Wow. So that's how do you navigate working with sort of midwives and doulas during a sort of women's birthing process, during labour? How does that dynamic work?
Well, when I started off, I think, well, for a start, doulas weren't really a thing back in the 80s.
Right, yeah.
So that's only come in more recent years. I suppose, as in terms of doulas, that I don't really have experience of working with doulas, because my role, I suppose, would be more like a doula in terms of a birth assistant, not in terms of the kind of work doulas do afterwards and before. I suppose a herbalist doula so like a doula, but also with medical background. So in terms of accompanying women through labour and birth, I haven't worked with doulas. In terms of working with midwives, midwives I've found are usually delighted to have a herbalist there. Obviously there's, you know, maybe the odd midwife who doesn't feel like that, but most midwives that I've worked with have been delighted to have another practitioner there during delivery. They're so busy, and to have someone supporting the mother. And most midwives, in my experience, again, have been are fascinated and really interested to know what herbs we use. And so they're actually usually really keen to know what herbs can help. So I found it really lovely working with midwives, actually.
Yeah. I've had positive experiences with midwives, actually, yes. Sort of being open-minded to anything that might help in that yes. time. Yeah. So what sort of herbs do you use during labour to help support women in kind of what sort of formats?
Well, I mean, and what I should say, I'm not a birth assistant for every woman, every pregnant yeah. woman in my practice. It's something I offer. But in fact, now that I'm getting to the stage I am in my practice, I really only offer it to friends and family. But sure. over the years, it's something I would have offered all the time. Many women obviously have their partner and don't necessarily want an additional birth assistant. So something I always do, whether I'm attending the birth or not, is offer certain herbs or see what somebody wants for their labour. So I would have a make up a birthing pack in advance of whatever the woman requires from the list that I go through, because I tend to see people through their it would be generally patients who I see through their whole pregnancy, and sometimes people who have I've treated for fertility and then have become pregnant, and then we go through their pregnancy. So prior to their due date, we would go through a list of things that I would offer or suggest that might be helpful for birth itself. And they would have the birthing pack. Then either they take that to the hospital or for their home delivery, or they would always have it. And I would take probably the same thing plus some extras if I'm attending. So if I go through the birthing pack first, really, because that's something, whether a herbalist is attending the birth or not, that's really useful for women to have. And it's great for them to empower women, really, for them to know things they can use themselves also. But obviously it's great for the during labour to have support. One thing would be something I call labour drops, which I was originally inspired back in the 80s by the book, The Herbal for the Childbearing Year. I don't know if you know that book. Anyway, with the labour drops that she recommended. And anyway, the labour drops, that these are something that women take once their labour starts, once labour is established. And this is to help keep labour going. And then if labour does get stalled, you can increase the dosage, or if it stops for some reason. So that would include things like mugwort, ginger, perhaps some of this would be worked out depending on the woman, just like herbal things are generally tailor-made. But but something like mugwort or black cohosh, bethroot or trillium, with a little bit of ginger, and I'd usually add a rescue essence for shock, a few drops of that. So that's something that can be taken as soon as labour is established, just in drops. And then a woman can either take that every half an hour to keep labour going, or if labour is extremely fast, then they might only take one dose at the beginning. Or as I say, if it's proceeding fine, they might take it once an hour, or they could take it more often if it's slowed down. Because, as you know, emotional, all sorts of different things can impact on labour. So it might slow down or stop for various reasons, and the labour drops can just really help keep it going. So that would be one item in the birthing pack. Another thing would be would be to suggest that the woman makes in advance some raspberry leaf ice cubes. Make a strong infusion of raspberry leaf. And usually they would have been taking raspberry leaf tea. I usually prescribe raspberry leaf tea in the last 3 months of pregnancy. Yeah. One cup a day in the last, in month 7 and 8, and then 3 cups in month 9. Mm. So they'd have raspberry leaf tea generally at home. Mm. And to make a strong infusion, freeze it in an ice cube tray, and then put that in a thermos flask. And if it's a hospital delivery, take that with you to the hospital. So that's something you can suck on during labour, especially in later stages of labour. So obviously in early stage labour, you can drink tea, but later on you might not really feel like drinking. So to have something cooling and refreshing that also has all the qualities of raspberry leaf is really helpful.
That's a great idea, I sort of was obsessed with crunching through ice cubes in my second pregnancy, so that would have really appealed, and I did get fed up with the taste of raspberry leaf tea by the end.
Yes, excuse me.
I'm consuming it quite a lot. Oh, a nice idea.
So, what else? Something that can be helpful is to have something to keep your energy going, because one of the biggest reasons for women often needing intervention is pure exhaustion. So to keep the energy going, in the past I've used little sticks of Panax ginseng that you can chew, which is, again, can be quite nice in labour, just to chew on something, and you can soften them in hot water to make them easier to chew. But Panax ginseng isn't necessarily currently very available, but some other herb to raise energy can be helpful. Women often like to have a tincture available for relaxation and pain. And in most cases, that's only going to maybe take the edge off the pain. It's not to give you necessarily a pain-free labour, but that can be very reassuring and comforting, and can soothe any anxieties and tension. In addition to the, that might be there in addition to the contractions. So I might give a mix of things like, again, depending on the woman, skull cap or valerian, maybe some cramp bark, passion flower, chamomile, motherwort. All those herbs would be completely fine to give to somebody. Anemone pulsatilla actually as well, in a small dose, can be very calming, and particularly in early stage labour, to help with pain as well. So a mix for pain relief and relaxation. And I also often make up a massage oil for women, which could be either stimulating or relaxing, or they could take a bottle of both in the birthing pack. So to make it, and of course, when labour, nobody knows whether they're going to want to be massaged in labour. It might be the last thing a woman wants, or it might be something they really appreciate. But a lot of women do like to have a massage oil available, and then they can make that choice. So
just in case.
Yeah, exactly. Things like essential oils to put in a burner or a diffuser, maybe eucalyptus for infection, or something like lavender or geranium for relaxation. And I also would use an essence, or would offer a room spray. And that's 'cause I like to use a lot of flower essences in my practice, that combine really well with herbs, and that a room spray with essences in is something that's very easy to take into a hospital and use in that environment. So for relaxation or for clearing the space, that kind of thing. So I'd often offer a room spray. And in the birthing pack as well, I would usually include something like calendula lotion, which would be calendula tincture diluted down to 25%, so that they've got something for afterwards if they need if they have any tears or stitches, and
just to use straight away.
Exactly, something to use straight away. And if it's a birth where I'm not going to be present, I might even give them a postnatal tonic, a small amount that they can start on straight away in their birthing pack. So if I'm attending a birth, so that would be the things I'd offer to a woman during a consultation, so they've got their birthing pack ready. And then if I'm attending the birth, she's there with her birthing pack, and I might bring extras of some of those things, and probably a few extra bits and pieces, like maybe a mix. Probably some extra dried herbs in case they were needed, like maybe yarrow or shepherd's purse for bleeding, or in tinctured form, or witch hazel, distilled witch hazel, which is very helpful if there's varicose veins or varicosities of various sorts. Clary sage essential oil is something I've found very helpful for during labour to help the cervix dilate.
And is that just in a diffuser, or would you be able to use that in a massage oil?
In a diffuser, in a massage oil, in the bath. So, you know, if a woman has access to a bath in the hospital, which oftentimes they do.
I was advised Clary Sage when.
So that again is something that you could offer to a woman to have in her own birthing pack if you weren't going to be present.
Are there any essential oils that you would avoid in the? Because obviously with pregnancy, there can be some which are sort of not safe or advised.
Exactly, there's a lot of essential oils I would avoid. There's a lot of herbs I might avoid as well, or would avoid. I can't really go through the whole list of things avoid. I just think it's something, if you're using herbs or essential oils for pregnancy or breastfeeding, you need to check it out first and be sure that what you're using is safe, because certainly there are a lot to be avoided. So go with ones that you know are safe. Which you could find lists in my book, for instance, or in various other texts.
So important to speak to a qualified herbalist, and if you are a herbalist, also to make sure you're doing your research before.
Absolutely.
One other thing I was wondering about with Vibop or Viburnum Opulus, cramp bark, is there no danger that it would sort of relax the muscles too much and impact on contractions at all?
Well, I've never, I mean, it's a logical question, but I've never I've never found that to be the case. I do think it's something. You know, some women in labour, their bodies are very almost hyper stimulated, and you'd want, and so that's, so I'd be very mindful about who I prescribed Vibop to. And in fact, for labour, Vibprune or Black Haw would be more suitable often than Vibop. But so for some people, it might not be the ideal thing, but for others, it would be absolutely perfect, because it would reduce certain muscle tension that would be getting in the way, but it won't interfere with contractions. And, you know, I'm talking about small doses here, not big doses.
Yeah.
And again, for dosages, you want to either consult, people want to either consult a medical herbalist or be sure to really do their research.
Hi there, Sebastian here. If you're enjoying this episode, you might like to know that there are plenty more herbal insights on our website. Come and discover more on the science, tradition and practical use of herbs at herbalreality.com. You can check out some of our special features, such as our sustainability guide, where we've used our experience in the herbal growing industry, as well as that of international environmental organisations, to grade every herb with a red, amber, green mark to help you better understand how to use herbs in a way that ensures the collectors, farmers and ecosystem the species are grown in are considered. We even have a whole area dedicated to detailed articles on threatened species, such as echinacea or slippery elm, as well as the social impacts of the herb trade. You can also sign up for our newsletter for plant-powered wisdom delivered straight to your inbox. Right, let's get back to today's conversation.
So we've got to labour, baby's been born. So talking a little bit about the sort of post-labour stage now. I mean, there are some really lovely traditions in other cultures providing kind of a lot of practical support for new mothers and allowing them to recover and really bond well with baby. And that's something that's often missing in Western culture. Do you kind of help to guide women on ways to make sure that they're fully supported in that recovery phase afterwards? And how can herbs help with that as well?
Yes, yeah. Well, I do think it's a time when... in our culture, as you say, a lot of women sadly are very much on their own, which I definitely try and encourage people to look at ways of how they can be supported afterwards. That's a huge area actually where a herbalist can both emphasise the need for that, because it's not even really much mentioned, is it? You know, and the whole emphasis very much afterwards, after giving birth, is often on the baby, which is great, but the mother needs so much emphasis as well.
It's a huge thing for your body to go through, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's a huge thing for your body to go through, and not just your body, but mind, spirit, everything. It's such a big change, especially a first baby. But then with subsequent babies, you've got all the other potential children around as well, you know. So however many pregnancies and births you've had, it's a big thing, isn't it? So, I think herbalists have a huge role they can play there, both in giving it's almost too much to go into in a short chat really, Marion. But in terms of because I offer all sorts of services, like, say, you know, sometimes, well, I don't perform things like a doula who would go, I mean, it's great if someone can have a doula who goes to their house and supports them, or if they've got a really helpful partner who can have time off. And just practical things like cooking food in advance and having it in the freezer and lots of stuff like that. But in terms of herbal support, I do think herbal postnatal tonics are vital, and that's an area, again, where... all the preparation for the mother is given, but the tonics afterwards are so crucial. And anyone with a herbal practice, I'm sure, would have seen, you know, I certainly have, so many women who maybe 20 years after giving birth are coming in with various problems that have been there since that birth. When you track back through their history, it's like if something had only been dealt with properly at the time, or that woman had had proper support or treatment, that would never have got to where it is 20 years later. So there's so much preventative care for the rest of a woman's life that can be given at that time. And often because the woman's just so busy, is overlooked. And it's not so much part of our culture that someone's there taking care of them. Anyway, so I think tonics are crucial. So that's something I really emphasise and would continue with. You know, it could be for 6 weeks, but it could be for 6 months, depending on the woman. And there's lots of, there's lots of different herbs that would be useful. And again, depends on the individual, and tailoring a mix to suit them. But one thing to look at is, you know, the rebalancing hormones, because hormones make a sudden shift after giving birth, and that can sometimes just not happen properly, and you see it years later that somebody's hormones have been unbalanced ever since them giving birth. And of course, looking at their history prior to that is important. So something like Vitex, which is also a galactagogue, and there are lots of herbs that help with a good supply, a plentiful supply of milk, which are the galactagogues, and Vitex is one of them, which will also help hormone balance. And I find goat's rue or Galiga blends really well with Vitex. They're like, it's a really useful pairing for postnatal treatment. And Galiga really helps blood sugar, which can be all over the place. And the whole...
Well, it's the root of metformin, isn't it?
And the whole endocrine system needs support at that time. So those two work really well together. And Galiga is another galactagogue as well. And I would often include something like vervain, which is another galactagogue, which also really... very restorative for the nervous system. And Chinese angelica and astragalus, which again make a lovely pairing together postnatally. And the Chinese angelica is a lovely warming tonic for women and really helps restore the uterus. And the astragalus, working with it, they just make a lovely pair. And of course, the astragalus also helps the immune system. So those kind of herbs, as well as, you know, whatever is particularly indicated for a specific woman. Another area postnatally is perineal trauma. which, you know, unless someone's had a C-section, which is another separate area to be treated, perineal trauma can be huge and can be kind of the biggest thing affecting a woman almost after delivery. So
well, hopefully they'll use the calendula lotion that they were given in the birth pack.
Exactly. Using the calendula lotion, putting that in the bath, putting it on stitches, on tears. Also, something I find very helpful is doing sitz baths, herbal sitz baths. And probably my two most favourite herbs for a sitz bath immediately postnatally would be comfrey and calendula together. Spending 20 minutes or so in a lovely, warm, comforting sitz bath can be so healing. And you can start that kind of the day after delivery, if, you know, which... I see great results with those. And of course, you can use lots of different herbs. The comfrey I would use only for the first 5 days and then replace it by something else, like plantain. And you could also put rose petals or lavender, all sorts of different herbs in.
So you can work on the emotional sort of trauma and recovery as well at the same time.
Yes, yes, exactly. And of course you can do full body baths. Rose is something that is particularly applicable to pregnant women and postnatally and babies. So that's a lovely addition to any mix that works on so many levels and is very emotionally and heart-based, soothing. So, I mean, and other herbs, going back to the perineal trauma that I might find helpful would be marshmallow powder, for instance, in a poultice, if that's needed. And going back to things like witch hazel or calendula, if someone has a lot of varicosities. And then, of course, the C-sections are another area where a lot of the same herbs would be useful, but you're talking about healing the wound. I mean, that, of course, is major surgery. If a woman's had a C-section, I would usually be looking at adding some specific herbs to help the healing after surgery, which for me would often include centella or gotu kola, because that's so wonderful after surgery. And
so the tissue healing,
yeah, exactly, really healing. And also hypericum, St. John's wort, after a cesarean, especially for nerve damage, really, because
would you use that topically?
Topically and as part of a tonic, yes. So that could be as a lotion using the tincture or a cream. But yes, I would use it topically. You can often get a lot of numbness and just deadness feeling in the skin, the tissues all around where the C-section's been. So that can be really an important part of treatment, actually, after a section.
Yeah. Great. Well, in addition to the Vitex and Galega that we've got for supporting breastfeeding, what other herbs do you sort of recommend for helping with breastfeeding? And then I guess particularly problems like mastitis. I think most people have heard of the idea of putting a cabbage leaf on your breast to help with the mastitis, whether that's a hot one or a cold one. And there's research to support that that's really helpful. But what other herbs do you use or recommend?
Yes, cabbage leaves or rhubarb leaves, which you can put on the
radiator as well.
Yes, rhubarb works as well. You can put on the radiator to soften and then put on the breast. So that's a nice, easy one to do at home. But yes, cabbage, particularly here in Ireland, it's very popular. Really everyone has cabbage at home. but other remedies for mastitis, poultices of slippery elm or marshmallow. I do find marshmallow has a particular affinity for the breast, so I would use the powder usually to make a poultice. Warm compresses can be really helpful. I mean, sometimes cold is helpful, but in general, I find heat actually better in mastitis. In terms of early stage, so sometimes if a woman's actually is in the bath and at the same time as having a warm bath, using maybe a calendula compress and then putting marshmallow poultice on afterwards. With mastitis, rest is really, really important. I mean, of course, that's really important for just about any condition, especially postnatally, but it's crucial in mastitis that that the mother gets a chance to rest. And
not always and, very easy.
Yeah, it's not always
easy. To find
easy.
That.
And clinically, it can be difficult to actually tell whether there's infection involved or not, because it may or may not be. So I would very often give echinacea orally, just in case there is infection, and that can make a huge difference. So you could take 5 mil at quite high doses, because that won't hurt the baby. So when I say high doses, I'm talking about, say, 5 mil of tincture every 3 or 4 hours for a day if you needed to, or maybe 2 days even, to really hit the infection if there is one. And then that can make all the difference between having to go for antibiotics, which and to keep feeding is important with mastitis, not to stop, because that's likely to cause even worse build-up. So, but it is something that can be treated very effectively with herbs. So, and the right management. So it's, you just need to be on call really for your patients, because you need to be there at the end of the phone, if not in person.
So ideally you want to avoid antibiotics. And then what other herbs do you use as galactagogues to help stimulate milk flow when it's not coming in properly?
Well, the classic one that I haven't mentioned is fennel, which has a dual purpose, because it helps also prevent and treat infant colic. So fennel is like the ideal galactagogue, really, and easy tea for the mother to drink, because, of course, the a lot of herbs will pass through the breast milk. So you're treating the mother and the with a lot of the herbal treatments, the mother and the baby as one. So, yeah, fennel and dill, you know, the classic gripe water, which is dill, caraway, all of those carminative herbs that are excellent. And, yeah, so fennel is probably the most common, the galactagogue that's also anti-colic. So, yes.
Yeah, I used that plenty with my second baby.
Did you?
Yes. She was a colicky baby.
Yeah, very, very helpful. And, you know, you can't really overdo the fennel, can you?
No. It's a good one. Tasty too. Are there any less well-known herbs that you use sort of throughout the women and baby's health journey?
Less well-known herbs. I don't know. What's less well-known? Perhaps... thinking of... I mean, this is a well-known herb, but its use in this way may not be so well-known. I don't know. I'm thinking of raspberry leaf, because after delivery, that can be helpful for something like prolapse.
That makes sense. That toning effect.
You know, where the overstretched tissues and muscles around the uterus, you know, all several of the pelvic organs can end up being prolapsed or slipping. So raspberry leaf helps tighten and bring back the tissues, putting it very simply. Raspberry leaf tea is really worth continuing for a month or so afterwards, where I mean, by that time, sometimes women are sick of drinking it, but it's,
yes. It's very out for that one.
Yes, but it, especially if there is any degree of prolapse, raspberry leaf is good. So is astragalus. I find astragalus very good for prolapse, and would mix it with something like raspberry leaf. I suppose I'm thinking dandelion root, if there's any degree of constipation. Well, bulking agents ideally, and do it through diet, because and for a woman after delivery, really it's quite common not to have a bowel movement for a few days. But to really help the bowel get moving again.
I mean, a lot of that's just the fear of causing more pain.
Exactly. That's where the essence, flower essences, can come in really helpful.
Absolutely. That kind of emotional support and help.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I've learned loads today. That was really interesting. I haven't treated a lot of women going through this journey, so it's been a wonderful learning experience for me. So just thank you very much for sharing your expertise, and really lovely to meet you.
Well, thank you, Marion. Lovely to meet you too. And I suppose one of my missions is to encourage herbalists to treat pregnant women, because it's such a legacy that herbs offer. So we can do so much in such simple ways. Really, they're all simple things, and they are well-known herbs.
And it's just, I think, for a lot of people it's a sort of confidence issue and fear of doing something wrong
absolutely, and I think stick to the herbs that you know are safe, you know, so it might be a much smaller repertoire or smaller materia medica than we might use for general practice. But within that, there's so much potency and power, and they don't need to be big doses in most cases, apart from, you know, mentioning the echinacea. But apart from that, you know, I'm talking about teas that you just... take it not at high doses, and there, so it is something that can be so safe and effective and so helpful, and prevents so many problems later on.
It's good to empower us all to take control.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Herbcast from Herbal Reality. We hope today's conversation has planted a seed of inspiration and deepened your understanding of herbal medicine, even answered a question or two. Please do subscribe to Herbcast wherever you're listening to this right now, and you'll be sure to never miss an episode. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, we'd love you to give us a 5-star rating and share it with someone who'd enjoy it too. As they say, learn something, teach something. It really helps us to reach more people and spread the good herbal world. You can also use a podcast review to share your comments and feedback about Herbcast, or perhaps make a suggestion for a future episode. It's always great to hear your views. If you can't wait till the next episode, you'll find plenty more herbal insights and all the previous Herbcast episodes on our website, and of course on social media. All the links you need are in the episode show notes. Until next time, take care, and thanks again for joining us for another episode of Herbcast from Herbal Reality. Bye for now.